The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we're back for the final hour, and it's been quite a show. We started with Hendon Hooker, the starting quarterback for Tennessee, now a Heisman candidate, as Tennessee has this weekend off before LSU and Alabama. Let's get back to the calls, and Gunny is up next in Georgia. Hello, Gunny.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just have a comment to make about the Auburn head coach. I was watching the Penn State game. At the end of the first quarter, Auburn threw an incomplete pass. Nobody on the coaching staff noticed that they could have called timeout, and Auburn would have gotten the ball back. They already had it down in the field goal range. And things like that is what's happening at Auburn. Everybody's not in the game. Everybody's not staying on top of everything. And I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate you, and I've enjoyed watching your program for years. And I was going to bring you my Purple Heart, but since I heard you talk to Jim a while ago, I think that you deserve something else, you know.
And hey, by the way, when did you win the Purple Heart?
In the Gulf War.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. Well, not fantastic, but I'm glad you're still around.
Yeah, well, it is fantastic. I don't have to pay for my tag, and I don't have to pay ad valorem tax in the county I live in.
Oh, okay.
So it is pretty nice, and it's hard to get a ticket too. You know, they'll pull you over and say, you realize you just blew a stop sign.
What did you do during the war?
I was a reconnaissance man.
Really?
Alert, they call this, right. Long-range reconnaissance patrol.
Well, thank you for what you said. And
did you notice that play?
Not
at the end of the first quarter in the Penn State Auburn game.
No.
The quarter ran out before they snapped the ball. Auburn quarterback threw an interception. If they could have challenged that and give Auburn the ball back, which they already had it in the red zone, which would have been a sure 3 points,
right,
probably. But nobody challenged.
I missed that. I was actually on a plane getting back, so I missed the beginning of the game. But Gunny, thank you again for sharing your story, and you be well. Very, very interesting call there. Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, looking good, sounding good, always as usual. Boy, that Jeff from Ohio, he sure gives you the business, don't he?
He does. He's just always got an axe to grind.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my daddy told me years ago that, you know how they ended the Civil War, was that Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee got together in Appomattox, and they both said, how are we going to stop this thing? You know the South can't win. And Robert E. Lee said, I know that. He said, but I'll end this war if you promise me two things. You Yankees can come down south and rent our hotel rooms in Myrtle Beach and eat in our restaurants 2 weeks, and I'll end the war. And Grant said, you got a deal. And that's the way it's been.
I knew that was what happened. I've read all these books about Appomattox, and I never saw that.
Well, you know, Ms. Feinbaum, sometimes you have to read between the pages to learn history. But I want to make a prediction. Clemson almost lost to Wake Forest and should not have won that game. They are going to get their butts beat in the Valley by NC State. Go Wolfpack!
Has NC State ever won a game they were supposed to win?
Well, they beat Clemson a couple of years ago in North Carolina.
Yeah, but they weren't supposed to win. To me, that's one of the most underperforming teams of all time. Just when you're counting on them to do something, they don't do it.
Well, you sound like you told Mike Clemson, too. I'm going to tell you something.
Hey, Caddy, I don't know how to break this to you, but Clemson's won two national championships in recent years. How many has South Carolina won?
Oh, you got me again. It's a fine bomb.
Got to read between the lines sometime, Cat Daddy. Dylan is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Dylan. Dylan did not make it. Elliot is up next in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if we're going to call it the power of Paul or the curse of Feinbaum, but here's the deal. Every time I get on Twitter during a game, I predicted Texas was going to be back. So Texas is playing. They're coming back. They got Quinn Ewers on the 20-yard line. He's had an incredible drive. I get on Twitter. I'm about to send you a tweet to say, in your face, Paul, Texas is back. And then Quinn, at that moment, I'm touching the phone. Quinn gets taken out. Clemson, Wake Forest. I predicted an upset. Wake Forest is going to upset Clemson. Okay, we made it to overtime. I still think they're going to do it. They score first in the overtime. I send a tweet this time. Literally send a tweet. In your face, Paul. Clemson's going down. And then look what happens. So when Ohio legalizes gambling here at the beginning of the year, I'm going to call you for your pick so I can make some money because I don't even know what to do with this.
Elliot, there are a lot of things. I love almost everything about the college football season. Predicting games is my least favorite. There's no upside anymore. I used to do it every week in a newspaper, and that was before social media, though. Now it's almost unbearable, because once you pick, no matter who you choose, you're a heathen by the other side.
No, absolutely. Hey, but what I do like is what you talked to Jeff about. I think we need to put Sankey, and I think we need to put the Big Ten in a room, and they need to come out friends and figure out how to make this happen. That'll bring ESPN back. That'll fix everything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm tired of the personal fiefdoms that have existed and continue to exist in college athletics. Let's talk to Bubba next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Paul, how you doing this afternoon?
We are doing great.
Hey, that last phone call from Jim, that had to be the most compelling phone call I've ever heard from him.
No, it was.
Did I understand that the good Lord told him to quit calling into the Feinbaum show and to quit lying about football?
No. What he said was that everything about that was correct. He told him not to talk football on the Feinbaum show.
Because it was based on a lie, so
yeah,
I took
yeah,
it as Jim
was,
needed
yeah,
to quit lying
based,
about football.
Because football was based on a lie.
I took it as Jim was lying about football.
No, I took it as the premise of football, and I think all the glorification of it. I'm just trying to interpret here as a layperson, not a scholar.
I got you. Hey, you've got your own version of the Iron Bowl going here with I-Man and Jim.
Yeah, well, so far it seems like Alabama's winning that pretty convincingly.
Yeah, I think Alabama's got them down by about two scores right now.
But I'm sure I-Man will be back as soon as he listens to the Doobie Brothers' greatest hits.
Yeah, you heard his feelings earlier, but he'll scab over.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, thanks for the call. We will take a break. We'll head to Arkansas in a minute and get the voice of Arkansas on the phone and find out what's happening as the big game nears.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back here, we heard Billy talking about Arkansas and Texas A&M last week. Let's turn the page to this week. It's a game that a lot of people have circled, including Arkansas fans. Nobody better to talk to than David Basil, the former captain, and now the talk show host and commentator in the state of Arkansas. David, great to see you again. Before we talk about this Saturday, just tell us what this week has been like, trying to get over what I would have to say in recent history is one of the most difficult Arkansas losses.
Well, first of all, Paul, thank you for making me sit through the a minute and a half of that before joining your show. That was absolutely miserable. I tell you, I'm done with Arlington. I'm done playing A&M in Arlington. So I've covered that game for 10 straight years, Paul, and have been in that locker room after the game. And there's some weird juju going on down there. I mean, Bermuda Triangle, whatever. You know, the K.J. Jefferson fumble that flips everything. Arkansas was completely dominating them, Paul. Dominating them. It almost looked unfair for a quarter. Should have been up 21-7. And it was a knockout punch. The 97-yard fumble return was a knockout punch. Arkansas recovered, came back, dominated the fourth quarter. They were driving to win the game, Paul, should not have even had to worry about the field goal. An errant snap, you know, from your all SEC center. And then you have the oink doink, whatever. But they came out in the locker room in the press conference, Paul, and said, we're done with this game. Got to move forward. And there is advantages of having a team like Alabama after a loss like that. And I heard you on Get Up this morning, and you're right. You were saying, you know, people here in Arkansas thought it would be a better advantage to have, you know, be 4-0 game day up there playing Alabama as opposed to now a chip on their shoulder, backs against the wall. We had Bumper Pool on our radio show this morning. He said they're all mad. They're all irritated at themselves for giving that game away. So I think that there's an irritation and a hunger to get back on the field Saturday and play Alabama.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I understood what the difference is. You're coming in angry or you're coming in sky high. You understand.
Right.
What is the difference, David?
Well, you know, I think there's a certain hype to the game. As you know, game day hasn't been in Fayetteville in 16 years. And so
they would have been there.
It would be good for the program, what Sam Pittman has been building up. But you're right. I'll tell you, as a former player, anger is a much better motivator to me. Having a chip on my shoulder, being mad about what just happened. You think about this game, Paul, a lot of these guys have been around. For example, Bumper Pool. He was back in the Chad Morris years, and you know how bad it was back then. So they've been around Alabama. They've seen last year it was 42-35, only 7-point difference in Tuscaloosa. So it's a very experienced team, and I think they're hungry to get back on the field. No more than number one, Paul, the quarterback, K.J. Jefferson, who I know would like to go out and show what he can do after what happened last week.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think it would, nationally it would have been a bigger game. It's still
right.
It's still sharing the spotlight with NC State and Clemson, and of course, let's not forget Kentucky and Ole Miss.
Yeah,
it's a really good game that nobody nationally wants to talk about, but we'll make up for that Friday and Saturday. But give us how Pittman brings this bunch back, because you heard from Bumper earlier today. How do you get over something like that? I know you have to.
Yeah, I think they, listening to Bumper today, they're a very confident crew. You know, this offensive line, the whole line is back. Basically, the whole offense other than Treylon Burks is back. And last year, against that Alabama defense, they scored 35 points. A lot of it was Treylon Burks. But I think there's a confidence in this offensive line. You look at what happened, Alabama, I don't think there's any question, Paul, this will be the toughest game Alabama has had. You look at the schedule, they really haven't had much competition other than the one Texas game, which, that easily could have been a loss. So I think this will be the best team that they faced. If you look at the last five losses for Alabama, Paul, going back to 2018, all the losses have been against teams who've scored 35 or more points. The average is 42. It wasn't like it was 6-7 years ago when most of the losses to Alabama were low scoring. Now, if you're going to beat Bama, you're going to have to score 35 to 40 points. Last year, this team scored 35 against them. And so, Sam Pittman knows the mentality of this team, and it's a toughness team. It's a team that wants to come out, smash you in the mouth. You can't have those mistakes. You got to hope Alabama is off his game a little bit. Their defense does not turn the ball over. It has not been getting turnovers like they have in previous years, so that's a positive. The one thing to remember, too, Paul, last year, man, Bryce Young threw for about 3 miles in the passing game. Broke an Alabama record that had been held since 1969, 5 touchdowns. So they got to try to figure out a way to stop him. But I think the key to this team is being able to run the ball and possess, and KJ being able to throw when necessary, getting the game to the fourth quarter with a shot to win at the end.
And David, you alluded to the game in Arlington, and I don't know, maybe because I'm not from out there or from Arkansas, it's a nice place to go. Dallas is great, whatever. But I'm tired of the game too. When does that end?
Well, I think with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, Paul, and Hunter Yurcheck, who we had at the Touchdown Club a few weeks ago, I mean, he basically has said, hey, you got two great home campuses. When I played, I love playing at College Station. It's a great college atmosphere. And I think they're ready to make that move, once Texas and Oklahoma come into the conference. You could play another team down there if you wanted to, Paul. You play Oklahoma State, you could do another game down there. But, yeah, I'm done. I'm done with A&M. Listen, it's great to play in Jerry's World. There were 25 to 30,000 Arkansas fans here. It's like a bowl game. And so I think they'd like to take advantage of that with recruiting and continue to do that. But I think the A&M series there will probably end maybe next year, the year after, I would think.
And I also think it's unfair, considering Jerry's age, to make him have to give the trophy to A&M every year.
You had to get that in there. Yeah, that was, last year it was all about winning all the trophies, and obviously the first trophy that they did not keep from last year was this trophy. But, it's a painful deal, Paul. It's painful for Razorback fans to go down there and see. Remember Brett Bielema, of the 5 years that he played down there, he coached down there, 3 of the 5 losses were overtime. It's just hard to describe. But listen, an upset win this weekend in Fayetteville could maybe erase all those bad feelings of Arlington.
What did you and here's what I got lost in the game is it was all about Arkansas losing, and I'm not really concerned about A&M getting enough credit. I'm curious what you took away from after watching A&M.
I think nothing against A&M. I think Arkansas was by far the better team. You got to have some breaks in the game, and that's what they certainly had. But you look at the first, second, and fourth quarter, and Arkansas dominated the game. I mean, it's one of the strangest games ever. You give them credit for being opportunistic, Paul. They've got a good running back. Johnson played decent at quarterback. But listen, they were gouging. Arkansas was gouging A&M, and so I'm obviously I'm upset about the loss. But I think if you watch that game and you ask Stinch about it. you're scratching your heads going, how does Arkansas not win that game? And sometimes the ball bounces and we're waiting. You can't have turnovers. They had five fumbles, Paul, five fumbles, lost one of them for 97 yards, so can't do that either.
And which brings me now to the final question. Does that say something about Arkansas, or is it just because you can't win doing what they did?
No. Again, it's the nature. As Billy said, this series has been one of the weirdest things. That's why I'm done with it. I'm done with it down there. But, Paul, you got to turn the page. That's one thing great about the game of football. You got a whole new week. You got a great opportunity playing, you know, one of the great programs in the history of college football. You got a senior-laden team. You got some guys that have been around. It's going to be a great environment, 74,000 fans, 2:30 kickoff time on CBS. So this is an opportunity for them to bounce back and show that they're a better team than what they showed last week.
Good deal. Always great to connect with David Basil. Seems like I've spent the whole month of September with you.
you did.
Great to have you on. Thank you, David. I saw David out in Fayetteville. I was with him in Little Rock, and now we're again together at the end of the month. We'll take a short break. We have 30 minutes remaining here, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And Dwight is up next as we continue. Dwight is from Georgia. Hello, Dwight.
Well, hello, Mr. Paul. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to make one quick statement and then ask a question of you.
Okay.
First of all, you've had multiple calls this afternoon about some of your old callers, and I got to tell you, I agree with these guys. Some of them like to talk football. Some of them just like to talk trash about one another, and you know, frankly, that's when my wife and I turned the TV off. We've been listeners for over 15 years and second-time caller, but it gets boring when sad old people from Tuscaloosa call in, and we're both Alabama fans. But speaking of the University of Alabama,
okay,
I'd like to hear your thoughts about Arkansas. I hear a lot of people right now kind of down on Alabama, and I get that we didn't play very good against Texas, and of course we had a fella that, you know, as the head coach of Texas, pretty much knew every trick we had in our book, and their team played very spirited. No excuses for Alabama, but I just don't see Arkansas having what it takes. I think their fans are a little bit delusional in terms of them beating us and whipping up on us, kind of like Georgia fans, you know, my buddy Lon Gahn with thinking Herschel Walker's going to be in the Senate. You know, Sam Pittman, he's a good coach and he's done good things at the University of Arkansas, but I just don't think KJ Jefferson has what it takes. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember being down there last year at the Arkansas game, and that game I never felt was in doubt. It ended up coming down to an onside kick, but it was a little bit manufactured in the next year narrative that Alabama struggled against Arkansas. They had, as I vaguely remember, a two-score lead most of the second half. And I think there's a more dangerous game ahead than Arkansas on the road. And it's not hard to figure out who that is. So I agree. I think Arkansas, I mean, even listening to Basil, who I think is a true representative of what people are saying and thinking, I'm not sure they're going to get over last week. And I think they would have been better off winning that game and coming in here on a raging high versus trying to figure out what went wrong and why it went wrong. And I think Alabama's the wrong team to get up against. And I think Alabama still has something to prove. Beating Vanderbilt by 100 points didn't matter. And Alabama is still without what I would call a dominant win to show people that we're serious. And I think they're sick. I think Nick Saban is very good in this spot.
I would agree, and I tell you, I think Will Anderson and some of the other not senior in class necessarily, leadership is in the same boat. Can't wait to see you in Knoxville in a couple of weeks. I agree. I think that is going to be the bellwether game to see how Alabama copes through the rest of the season.
Hey, thank you, Dwight. Yeah, and listen, I take nothing away from the Florida win in talking to Hendon Hooker earlier. That had to be done. But if there's any way to make a bigger game on the Tennessee schedule, you're about to get it, assuming everything holds up. And Tennessee has to get past LSU, which, with assuming LSU can beat Auburn, is suddenly going to become a program to keep your eyes on. Speaking of which, Matt is in Knoxville. And you are next up. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
Very well. Thank you very much for calling.
Yes, sir, man. Loving Knoxville, loving Maryville, loving the water, and loving our team. I feel like we have a chip on our shoulder. I'm kind of concerned about our linebackers. They're still stepped it up a lot. I feel like we're a little bit weak in that spot. But we have a chip on our shoulder. So the question is, if we get past LSU, which I do think will happen, if we get past them, and I think it'll happen by 10 points, somewhere around there. If we get past them, Alabama was already scared last year. Do you agree with me?
Well, I think Tennessee caught Alabama last year at a time when they were really they were in a valley. They were having a hard time, and that game should have never gone the way it did, but it did. And Alabama had the same problem a couple weeks later, if I remember, against LSU. You know,
the score didn't show it. The end
yeah,
of the game.
Right.
No, we had
no, I agree
the whole
with you.
Time. Okay, and also Georgia, the first half, who went in?
Yeah, it was a tough first half.
Okay, so we are a little short, and we've got a hell of a coach. Excuse my French.
That's okay. I don't think that's a French word.
No, it's not. And I love Kingston Pike and Heskamuna and everything. But point is, if we can just get over that, then, you know, I think we might see us.
Well, to me, Matt, I'm not trying to make a case for a game 2 weeks off, but the Florida experience was helpful because I think Tennessee needed to have all these distractions that came with that game, and they passed the test, and it was a struggle, but they still won. And, you know, that helps as you get ready for what could be something even bigger, which is hard to imagine, but it will be. Let's move along, and Dan is in Louisiana. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I was just going to ask you about the West and the East.
Okay.
In the conference, I've got my top four or five teams. What are yours?
Well, I want to hear yours first. They're far more important than mine.
Well, I don't know, but Tennessee in the East, Georgia, Kentucky, and then between Vanderbilt and Florida.
Oh.
I think. And then in the West, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, A&M, and Arkansas.
Well, I think I agree with you. I may not agree with Vanderbilt, but I agree with some of the other ones. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Henry is in Arkansas. Hello, Henry.
Delusional Arkansas.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, I was listening to Cat Daddy earlier, and he referenced the Civil War.
Yeah, Appomattox.
It reminded me of a quote I read recently by, well, I read the quote in Tony Horowitz's book, Confederates in the Attic.
Good book.
Dispatches from the Unfinished Civil War. And the quote was from a guy named James L. Pettigrew. And he was describing his native state, South Carolina. And he said, South Carolina is too small for a republic, too large for an insane asylum.
I have heard that every time they have the primary there at the beginning of the election season, I hear that quote reverberate. Very accurate.
Thanks, Paul.
No, that's great. That's it's an unusual state, but when it comes to political discourse, it's as crazy as any place in the country. Let's talk to Steve in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. What's everything? How's everything in Kingsport?
It's quiet. Oh,
okay.
Right now.
So, last time I was there, that's exactly how I remember it.
Yeah. Hey, I called yesterday and I kind of got cut off in the middle.
Okay.
But I was going to ask you about Jim.
Okay.
You know, I stayed on the phone over an hour yesterday waiting to get a call. I stayed here about 45 minutes so far. It may be longer than that, trying to get through. And Jim gets through three times. You know, how many of these other callers get backed off from this? You know?
That's a fair question.
You know, he ought to be limited to a couple calls anyway. You know, I've been watching you for a long time, and of late, I've started watching more because I'm kind of limited in what I can do. I got kidney failure now, and I'm going through testing in Knoxville for a transplant, and so I guess that gives me more time to hear Jim on the phone than I used to hear him. So, but, you know, it does get pitiful that I know people can't get in because of Jim's, all of his phone calls. So I wish you could really do something
well,
about
well, Steve,
that.
Let me say, you're talking to the person that makes that call, and I am certainly culpable in that. Let me also say this to you. I have friends who have been through what you are going through, and I just want you to know that I will not forget this phone call, and I'll be thinking of you and praying, and I hope for good things ahead.
Well, thank you.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.